WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Novelist Richard Powers is known for tackling intellectually complex subjects in his award-winning novels like The Goldbug Variations and Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance. In his latest novel, The Time of Our Singing, Powers interweaves physics, classical music, the mystery of time, and the problem of race with real-life events. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that it's a soaring performance that contains a few flat notes.
All novelists play God. But nowhere are their divine delusions so apparent as in historical fiction. What if is the irreverent question historical novels pose? What if the past were to be tinkered with? The big what-if moment in Richard Powers' sprawling novel, The Time of Our Singing, occurs on Easter Day 1939, the day when the great contralto Marian Anderson defiantly sang to an audience of tens of thousands in front of the Lincoln Memorial, after she'd been barred as a black woman from singing in nearby Constitution Hall. What if, on that historic occasion, another young black woman, an aspiring classical singer herself, and a German-Jewish émigré, a physicist who ruminates over the problem of time, were to bump into each other in that crowd, and against all the odds, were to fall in love and marry? And what if they were to have three mixed-race children who came of age in the 1950s and 60s? And what if the oldest child were so gifted as a singer that he too dared to cross over the barricades into the lily-white world of classical music? What then? The Time of Our Singing is nothing if not audacious, as it charts the lives of that mythical couple Delia Daly and David Strom and their children. It also retells the 20th century history of race relations in America by revisiting some signature events: the murder of Emmett Till and the travesty of his killer's trial, the March on Washington in 1963, the Birmingham bombing, the LA riots, and the Million Man March. Sometimes Powers succeeds in restoring the shock of the new to the past. The set piece on Emmett Till is, in itself, a searing 10-page defense of the value of historical fiction. But other passages where the public and private intersect have a hokey, you-are-there docudrama feel to them. Albert Einstein's visit to the Strom household is one such episode of high fakery that disrupts the spell of belief. Ironically, such flaws actually safeguard The Time of Our Singing against the charge that critics like George Will and Jonathan Yardley have leveled against other historical novels like Don DeLillo's Libra or E.L. Doctorow's The Book of Daniel, namely that these fictions about the Kennedy assassination and the Rosenberg case are so convincing, impressionable readers will swallow them whole as the truth. The Time of Our Singing doesn't pose such a threat because it isn't as powerful, as seamless, as insistent as those novels. It's a moving and very good, but not great book, a second-tier work of historical fiction in the company of other strong second-tier novels like David Bradley's The Cheneysville Incident or Doctorow's own World's Fair. The main narrator of The Time of Our Singing is the Strom's second son, Joseph, who's born to play second fiddle. Joseph is not as gifted musically as his wunderkind brother, Jonah. Appropriately, he grows up to be Jonah's accompanist. Nor is Joseph as filled with passionate intensity as his much younger sister, Ruth, an irritating Johnny One-Note creation who eventually joins the Black Panthers and denounces her classically trained brothers as Uncle Toms. Joseph's account of his and Jonah's musical education is compelling, even to a tin-eared reader like myself. It begins at home, where Delia and David recognize that the world's relentless purifiers would come after their mixed-race children, and that for pure safety, nothing beat music. Jonah, the genius, ends up devoting himself to early medieval music, trying to find the origins of human sound before categories like race make their mark. Music, clearly, is one of Power's big metaphors here, a formal device for keeping the multitudinousness of his novel from spinning out of control. The other big metaphor is time, and surprisingly, even though it's the more abstract construct, it turns out to be the more affecting one. David Strom, the boy's physicist father, is convinced of the existence of curves in time, loops by which chronology doubles back on itself, and everyone and everything exists concurrently. The novel itself endorses this theory. As Jonah and Joseph age, and sadly come to regret their parents' experiment in mixed marriage, as separatism, not integration, becomes the rallying cry, Power's novel keeps returning to that utopian moment on Easter 1939, when David and Delia first meet across the color line and think, what if? Though the novel that follows doesn't quite live up to its own ambitions, that recurrent question is poignant enough to carry a reader along.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Time of Our Singing by Richard Powers.